try to show you how.
Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, from Yirmiyahu to Yeshayahu. Friday morning shiur, 8:30 to 9:15, Parshat Yitro.
Explains the whole book. This book is really complicated. If you ask almost anyone on the street, like regular good old Jewish education, have you heard of Yirmiyahu? What would they say?
Yeah. Sure.
And what's he famous for?
Fasting.
What?
Either for a drought or for sins.
Most of the Nevi'im have something they're famous for.
Oh. Well.
So what would you say you're most famous for? Like,
the Nevi'im of the Chorban.
What do you mean by the Chorban?
The destruction of the temple and the country.
So he was living in that time period. He was the one who caused it. He was the one who predicted it. He was the one who...
Well, certainly predicted.
He predicted it, right? And his prediction came true. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes him famous, I guess? Okay, so I'm going to go back a step. Tell me what he predicted from what you remember. What did you say he predicted?
Yeah, he predicted.
Back in 7 years.
He predicted the temple will be destroyed, and what else?
Come back in 7 years.
And they'll come back in 7 years. Okay, that's what I was hoping to hear. Because that's what most people think, correct? So Yirmiyahu predicted the Qurban, and Yirmiyahu predicted they'll be gone for 7 years, and we rebuild that for 7 years.
And to not rely on the Egyptians, to go with the Babylonians. Like a very geopolitical
message. Yeah,
something
little, he gets a little political. Now, what I want to show you, which is almost a shame, Yirmiyahu's entire career was an attempt to prevent the Qurban from happening. He didn't predict it will be destroyed. He predicted it might be destroyed if we don't do proper tshuva, like all the Nevi'im. But of course, every Nevi says that. Actually, that's not true. Nevi'im tell people, you better behave, otherwise there might be a famine or there might be a war. But you better behave, there might be a Qurban. That's pretty harsh. I'll give you an example nowadays. Let's say a rabbi would get up and say, you know, if we don't fix our society, we might lose, the state of Israel might fall apart, and this new Gula might all fall apart, and we might have to leave Israel again. So what would they tell you in Merkaz HaRav? It can't be, right? You've heard that? Almost every single Yom Yerushalayim, it's almost the same Sikha. We have a promise that this is the final Gula, and it can't get bad again. There's only three, you know, two. Don't quote a Ramban here and there. But you've heard that approach several times?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, and maybe the only thing that might lose it if we don't have enough emunah that this is the final Gula. But you have to have, if you believe it is, it will be. But you need what's called emunah.
Doesn't Hashem tell Yirmiyahu that it's too late, they can't do tshuva?
Uh-huh.
God's decided, okay. Or?
That's what I want to show you. Yeah. Now, Khurban, Yirmiyahu is saying, he's trying to prevent the Khurban. I'll just get right to my key point and I'll try to prove it. In the first part of his career, Yirmiyahu was classic, all the other Nevi'im, to do tshuva. He's like, no different than everyone before him. Fix your ways. It's like, you're broken like any shul rabbi. You know, become shul, they nod, and then go back to the regular ways. Yirmiyahu is going to do something in the middle of his career. We'll talk about the years of his career in a minute. He's going to make, not just a prediction, he's going to announce a decision by God that's irreversible. And that is, not the temple will be destroyed, but that the Babylonians are taking over the Middle East. And I call it this one, one politics and religion, in religion class. In the fourth year of Yehoiakim, like 18 years before the Qurban, he's going to come with pretty much a bombshell. Something that's almost unprecedented in Nevi'im, and he's going to say, God made a decision that for the next 70 years the Babylonians are controlling the Middle East. And that's given. That can't change. And therefore, if you want to keep your temple and you want to stay in Israel, what do you have to do?
Go with the Babylonians.
If you rebel against them and fight them, you're finished. No matter what you do. Got it? You can cry, daven from today to tomorrow, that's not going to change. That's like written in stone. Now, he's going to say the reason why God made that decision is because of your bad behavior. But no matter what you do, no matter how much shuva you do, the Babylonians are here. And there's nothing to doubt them for. In fact, I'm on their team, God's going to say. You understand why that's going to be earth-shattering to the people? But that's going to be the key event in Yirmiyahu's life and his career, which basically caused a Qurban, in a certain way, we'll see. Is that he's coming and making a decision. He's not deciding. He's telling God's decision in the middle of his career. that God's giving you almost like a political command to put up a white flag to the Babylonians, not to rebel against them. If you do that, you can keep your land. You don't have to go into exile. You don't have to go anywhere until the temple doesn't have to be destroyed. If you rebel against the Babylonians, you're finished. Most people don't want to hear that. Like 99% of people don't want to hear that. And when you don't want to hear that, you don't want to accept that, then what do you do with a Nebi like that? You want to kill him, and you delegitimize him. He doesn't have smicha. Obviously, he's making it up. And well, therefore, we're going to find a phenomenon in the time of Yirmiyahu called the Nevi'ei Sheker, which is like half the book he's fighting, where there's God's prophets, like I call them, you know, established rabbinate, who are claiming that Yirmiyahu's nevuah is not true. And he made it up. Then they have the right nevuah. There'll be a big argument, what is the correct word of God? And Yirmiyahu has to fight them because they're making it up. And there's it's really sad, it's almost tragic, where there's a giant fight among the rabbis, or among the prophets at the time, but they're all they're God's prophets. They're not idol worshippers versus God's prophets. They're all God's prophets, but there's an argument among the rabbinate what to do.
Wishful thinking?
What?
Just wishful thinking?
More than wishful thinking, emuna.
How could they be God's prophets if they were made shekel?
That's half the book.
Is it a fair for a Navi to give a geopolitical message at all?
I agree with you. No one's ever done something like that before. And that's why they're so sure he's a false prophet. The question is, why is God only giving the truth to one prophet, not the other ones? That'd be a bigger question.
But they're not prophets.
What?
If God is not talking to...
So what do you mean by a prophet?
What
a prophet is not someone who gets prophecy. A prophet is someone who guides people and how to serve God. A Navi is God's spokesperson. Now, a Navi, in special situations, might get a prophetic dream from God to give him, like, he's not sure what direction to go in, and God will give that Navi direction. But a Navi can be a Navi his whole life and never get real Nevuah. But he dedicates his life to explain to the people what God wants from them. That'll be... So what I want to do first today, I want to show you... I want to show you real quick like what I call classic Yirmiyahu, and then we'll get to the Nevuah I'm talking about. I'm just going to give you a page.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Why does God want the Jews to surrender to the Babylonians?
That's safe for Yirmiyahu. It's going to we'll read chapter 25, but that's exactly the issue. Here, pass this around.
I also pass this around. You know, on one side you have the prophet, on the other side you have the Rebbeim telling people what to do. How are the little people supposed to know what to do?
Yeah, that's a great. Every single question of yours.
Especially when Yirmiyahu is the one guy and there's 10 others, the other 10.
That's exactly Yirmiyahu. Second? Okay, just a second. There's
no question
pages here.
Yeah?
Is that one?
Okay,
wait, I got more.
It's like a
Dasha. He doesn't have
why would people expect to follow the Dasha for one opinion if everyone else doesn't agree?
That's called Nevi Sheker, but that's exactly the one.
I
got more of these. Let's just get the right one.
Right.
Two people you missed.
And
you
know, I messed up the...
Rabbi Nachman, in the world of Navis, it's not like a Das Yachid versus the Rove, like we do with rabbinical decisions, where it's reasonable for people to follow the majority.
Here we go. This one's good. Okay, so share. Here. I brought the Yeheskel outline, so the Yeheskel outline. I thought I'll hold it back. You guys share this one?
No.
And you guys share? Yeah, you guys share there?
But it's only those three. It's the Binyan versus the Minyan. It's the whole Inyan between the Mechaber and the
Rav. Well, I was asking, does the Das Yachid Navi... can't people say we're not the Rove of the Nevi'im are saying X? He says
you're right. We're going to deal with all those questions come up. You guys are right on the mark.
If it's like rabbis.
But I got you interested. This, that's why it's Yirmiyahu is such a misunderstood book. But let me prove my key point. Let me prove my key point, and then we'll. That's why I say on the outline there. There's the religious issue and there's the political issue. We'll see how they clash. Just as far as the timeline, I'm just assuming you're aware of the end of Bayit Rishon. What we talked about last time, like last couple of shiurim, talked about Yoshio's, like over Shitz Michat Golotenu, the fall of Ashur, and return of Menashe, and then Amon being assassinated, and then wham, things go great in the time of Yoshio, and we're like it's never been better. I mean, in a long time. I call it what I call Ding Dong the Witch is Dead, or Ding Dong Ashur is Gone. And we can grow again. And no one dreams that there'll be another superpower like Ashur again. And we're growing leaps and bounds, and then and we're religious, sure. We accept the Mikdash.
You have to be
and Ashur is gone, and everything's great, and then everything falls apart again. With the big event with Yoshiel loses the battle in Megiddo, we'll get to the history part later on. Let me just get to the parak I'm talking about. Just open that parak hey. Yimiel. Then we'll go back and see what we talked about before that. Yimiel parak hey. The book of Yimiel is super difficult to follow because he's jumping all over the place. He jumps from year to year and backwards and forwards. You know, we can try to make sense out of that also. Yimiel hey. The first line is really interesting because it's an anchor for all biblical dating. Listen carefully. Hadavar she'ayah Yirmiyahu kol ha'mehuna bashana ha'revit li'Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu melech Yehudah hi ha'shana rishonit le'Nebuchadnezzar melech Babel. I think pretty sure it's the only time we have a pasuk in Chumash where we have the Jewish date and a secular date. You know, and we know, and all correlation of biblical dating is based on this. What do you mean the first year of Nebuchadnezzar? Not the first year that he captures Israel, but rather the year that he takes over in Babel. Around 609 BC, give or take a couple years. Okay, Perakaf Hei Nirmiel. Who's Yehoyakim? Yoshiel, 31 years. Remember, he became king at age 8 and died at age 39 in the war against Megiddo. But 13 years into his reign, he starts this massive Tshuva movement. 18 years into his reign, they find the Sefer Torah and they make the massive Passover and they're going great. And in fact, 13 years later, they're doing so good they think they can take on the Egyptian army. They meet the Egyptian army in Megiddo, and he gets wiped out, and he's killed in battle. His son, Yehoyakim, not right away, but within a half a year, Yehoyakim takes over. A little complicated story, but Yehoyakim becomes king for the next 11 years. And during Yehoyakim's reign, the Babylonians become powerful in Babylonia. So 4 years into Yehoyakim's reign, but this is what's taking place. The Babylonians just became powerful in Babel. The question is, are they going to come like Ashur did and take over the Middle East? Ashur, in the meantime, is gone. There's no more. Every country is their own in the Middle East. Is Ashur going to be, I mean, is Babel going to be the next Ashur or not? That's up for grabs. What God is going to say on that year, that's what's happening, and that's why he put him in charge. No one wants to believe that. So this is going to be the Nebuah of Yirmiyahu. That's going to be this, again, the watershed point in chapter 25. This is the message he gave them on that year. This is what he says. Pasuk Emunah. In Perek Chaf. Min shlosh leishana liyoshiyah ben Amon melech Yehuda v'ad hayom hazeh zeh shlosh v'sim shana haya dvar Hashem elai v'adaber alechem ashkem v'adaber v'lo shemateh. Since I began my career, remember, since we began our tshuva in the 13th year of Yoshiyahu, till this day I've been hacking you a cup if you know Yiddish. I've been giving you the same message over and over again, and you don't listen. Now remember, during this time is when they're doing tshuva. And Yirmiyahu is saying, for the last 23 years, I've been giving you this message, and you just don't get it. What's his message? V'shalach Hashem aleichem et kol avidav hanavim, hashkem v'shalach v'lo shematem, lo ititem et nosachem nishmoa. I've been sending, that's just me, but God's been sending lots of prophets, telling you this message, and you don't get it, and you haven't been listening. What message is it? It's not going to be the message to pray to God, we'll see in a minute. Lemor, shuvino ish midarko hara'a umirom alelechem. Every man should turn away from his evil ways and from his bad thoughts. Remember, darkechem is how you're acting, malelechem is what you're thinking about doing. Ushua adama asher netan Hashem lechem lavotechem minolam barolam. And if you fix your behavior and your ways, now what's he referring to? We'll go back and see what that is in a minute. And you know, if you fix your ways, then you can remain on this land that God gave your forefathers forever and ever. In other words, you're remaining on the land and not going into exile is a function of your deeds, which is the biggest theme of the Torah, if you say Shema every day. And on top of that, don't also follow other gods, because they're going to lead you astray. And don't get God angry with all the things you're doing, and then it won't be evil to you. And what you're doing is beginning to be angry, and now, time for the punishment. It's like a parent, after like years and years of, you know, yelling at a kid, you know what, I've been warning you, telling you, blah, 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 now it's time to do something drastic. Right? I'm going to take away the credit card, I'm going to take away, you know, your allowance, whatever it's going to be, to take the analogy. Listen to the punishment. That this is not a one-time punishment for one-time event. This is accumulative after a whole career of yelling at the people. I'm sending now, God's saying. I'm taking all the families of North, or all the nations of North, and especially Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, my servant. That's a new name for Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is God's Eved. Now, Nebuchadnezzar didn't say Shemoneh Esrei three times a day.
What's that?
Nebuchadnezzar did not say Shemoneh Esrei three times a day, even once a day. And he wasn't even in B'nai Kiva. Or not in, he didn't want to hear. He was a Goy Gomel. But what's Nebi saying? His success is the hand of God. Just remember what Yishael said about Ashur Hoya Ashur Shevet Api? That's what Yirmiyahu is saying about Babel. Babel's going to rise to power, and what's God saying? What's the Navi saying? Nebuchadnezzar's rise to power is the hand of God, and it's in punishment for your behavior. I tried to get you to prevent it. Like I think I compared last time to the global warming. I told you if you don't, you know, stop those emissions, Antarctica is going to fall apart, and there'll be massive flooding, etc. I warned you and warned you. That's it. It's too late now. Your punishment's coming. Nothing you can do about it. So he says, the Nebuchadnezzar ala arts azot da yoshvel, I'll call the Sabid. I'm gonna bring him all this land and all the, not just Israel, see, the whole Middle East. Vachramtim, Vishtamtim, the Shama, the Shrekal, the Khorbat Olam. And all these areas are gonna be wiped out. Vavati mem kol sason, kol simcha, kol chatan, kol kala, kol echan vorner. How come we sing it that way? We don't sing this pasuk anymore.
Yeah.
Later on, Yimri is going to say, "Od Yishama." This was. Wow. The Nebuchadnezzar put an end to Kol Susam Kol Simcha. In his Zuhut Nechama, he's going to say one time, it'll come back again. Okay. Then listen carefully. Vaytak Hol Ha'aretz Hazot Lechorban Lushama. This whole land, not just land of Israel, the whole Middle East, will be under destruction. V'avdu Hagoyim Eile Et Melech Bavel 70 Shana. All the kings of the Middle East are going to serve Melech Babel for the next 7 years. Got it? What's he saying? Babel's in charge for the next 7 years.
70.
Seven only.
Yeah, but that doesn't jive. This isn't the day before the Korban.
This is 18 years before the Korban.
Right.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
We'll explain Purim later on. Okay. Then, Vayakim Lot Shivim Shana, Efkod Et Melech Babel, Vetogoy Egnum Hashem, Vetavonam Beretz Kazim, Vesamtiotam Shemot Olam. After those 7 years, I'll punish Nebuchadnezzar from Babel for all the bad things they did. But for the next 7 years, I'm letting them rule the Middle East. Then I'm using them as my punisher, and then I'll take care of him.
So what does that mean? I'm using them as my punisher, and I'm gonna judge them on
what they did wrong.
So what did they do wrong?
We'll see what they do.
Because they were
me. Remember Hillel and Pirkei Avot? Remember when Hillel saw that little skull floating on the water?
He said,
because you killed people, you got killed, and the person who killed you is going to get killed.
Yeah.
Chazal talked about the thing. God will find the crook who's going to do it. He's still a crook, the guy, but God's using the crook, and he'll punish him for being a crook. But in the meantime, he's going to use the crook to take care of you.
Yeah.
But all your questions exactly why all the people don't accept what he's saying. Now it sounds like there's nothing you can do about it. He's going to come and conquer you. But just fast forward for a minute to Perek Chaf Zayin. Later we'll talk about why we're jumping. But he's going to clarify this in Perek Chaf Zayin. In Pasuk Tet. Actually, start from Pasuk Tet. There's Vaya Goy. He says the same thing about that Nebuchadnezzar are coming. Yirmiyahu is walking around with a yoke, telling people, put your stuff under the yoke of Bavel. He says, in Pasuk Tet, Vaya Goy in Perek Chaf Zayin. Now, any nation who doesn't accept the Torah is going to be wiped out. Vatem, listen carefully. Al tishvu nevi'echem, de'al kosmechem, de'al chalmotechem, de'al onenechem, de'al kshetechem, asherim omrim lechem, demor, lo tevnas bodel. All the advisors and all the prophets from all the countries are all telling the people,
rebel.
It says, don't listen to them. Ki sheker him nibim lechem, lemahachik etchem ya'adan matchem, vidakte etchem da'avretem. I'm allowing them to do the sheker. That's your punishment. Giving you bad, the fact you have bad advisors, that's half your punishment for your bad behavior.
Isn't it better if they would have had more intelligent, like geopolitical, rather than magicians and sorcerers, magical advisors?
But he's talking about all the nations now. Pasuk Yud Aleph. B'hankoy asher yabi et savro b'odav ha'bavel, v'avdo v'inachtiv alem matov, num Hashem v'avdav yashavah. If you accept the yoke of Bavel, you can stay in your land. Listen carefully now. V'atzidkeo melech Yudah, this is later on now. Dibarti kol ben meilum, lemor, and this is before the Korban, during the reign of Tzidkeo. Hevyu et chadrechem bo'o melech Bavel, v'ivdu oto v'amo v'ichiu, lama temutu ata v'amecha, v'cher v'ofra v'deder, kasher diber Hashem alagra asher lo yavod benot Bavel. Tzidkeo, you of all kings, you should listen to God, accept Babylonian sovereignty, and don't rebel. Ve'al tishmu'u al divrei ha'nevim ha'omrim alechem me'mor lotu et melech Bavel, ki shekim nibim lechem, ki lo shilachtim nu mashem, ve'hem nibim bishmi l'shaker, manedich etchem avatem tem banvim ha'nevim lechem. Got it? These nevim, these are nevim Hashem, got it? They're saying words in my name that I never said. These nevim are saying, and God said, fight Bavel. And Yirmiyahu says they're making it up. Don't trust them. Now we then, Belakwani, Bekola Amazet, Divat Memor, Kol Mashem, Altishmu, Divin, 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 Memor, Hinech, Beit Hashem, Shavim, Bevela, Mehira, Kishem, Tem. All the false prophets and the rabbis and the Kohanim. And people were saying, in 2 more years, we'll see, the worst is over. And the people went into exile from Yerushalayim are coming back. Remember, this before the Korban, back to the first wave of exile. He says, don't believe that. Hope my point is clear? This Nevoah of Yirmiyahu, which is it's going to reverberate, his main point is that not the temple will be destroyed. The irreversible Nevoah is Yirmiyahu, that Bavel is in charge for 7 years, beginning in the fourth year of Yehoiakim. And there's nothing you can do about it. Now, what happened? Nebuchadnezzar came in, like sixth, seventh year of Yehoiakim. First they accepted him, and then they rebelled against him in year 8, 9, and 10. And Nebuchadnezzar came to put down the rebellion. And Joachim was rebelled against him, and he died probably in battle. His son Jehoiakim took over in the 11th year of Jehoiakim. Joachim took over, lasted 3 months. Why did Nebuchadnezzar destroy the city and exile everybody? You know why? Because Joachim put up a white flag. You know that story? Joachim's son Jehoiakim, after 2-3 months in government, realized it's a lost cause. He, at the end of the day, he listened to Yirmiyahu, and he put up a white flag, went into exile, and saved the city. He didn't fight to the end. He saved the city by surrendering. Who went into exile? Only the officials, the Chorasha Mazgir. Everyone else stayed. Who was put in charge? Tzidkiah was appointed vassal king by Nebuchadnezzar. On what condition?
Swear loyalty to him.
Keep loyal. In the middle of Tzidkiah's reign, 5 years into his reign, 4 or 5 years, guess what he decides to do?
Rebel.
We're going to rebel. When he rebels and breaks that treaty he made with that to be subservient, and again, for sure going against Yirmiyahu, then Nebuzadran the general comes, and this time, the problem is they're successful for year 2 in the rebellion, but in year 9, Asar B'Tevet, they come back to Babylonians, and this time it's a lost cause. They're not going to fall for it again. This time, because they broke their treaty the first time, this time he's going to destroy the city and send everyone else into exile and just leave, Gedaliah behind. Understand what's going to happen? That's safe for Yirmiyahu in a nutshell. But that's why those 2 points I was hoping you were going to say. He didn't predict Korban, he didn't predict exile, he didn't predict being real. He predicted 7 years of Babylonian sovereignty, and the temple can be destroyed, but it doesn't have to be destroyed. But what destroys the temple is the political rebellion against the Babylonians, is taking on the Babylonians, and during that time, all the people are sure that God's going to help them, and they're going to pray like crazy for God to help them. And God's going to say, I'm not listening to your prayers. It's going to be one of the biggest things in Yirmiyahu. God tells Yirmiyahu not to daven, I'm not listening. And it's like shocking to the people. Like, unheard of.
Well, it doesn't seem like he's giving them a religious message. It's,
okay,
it's
no.
a political
yeah, yeah,
message.
No, that's, that's only in year four. But beforehand, let's go back to the 23 years of the religious message. And that's chapter 7. Go to Yirmiyahu Zion.
Why doesn't he let them be sure?
What?
So why doesn't... The fact that they got it, so that's... Why
didn't
you let them do that?
Your question is exactly the point of your meal. Davening, listen, I've talked about this before, but you don't daven to God to save me from trouble. You daven to God to remember why God brought the trouble. Got it? You don't daven to God, oh, take away my enemies. You daven to God to ask yourself, why did God send me enemies? What was I doing wrong? And then you do tshuva. That's transformative davening. God's not a machine, say magic words and come and save you. Or scream, I believe in you and come and help me. And that's what the people are doing. And Yirmiyahu calls them idol worshippers. They're serving, they're turning to our God, the one God, and begging him to help us, not realizing they don't deserve God's help. And when you turn to a God and say, save me only because, no, because I'm praying to you.
Because I'm praying to you.
And I'm praying to you. And don't realize why God brought the enemy, Yirmiyahu calls them idol worshippers. Now, let's open up Perek Zayin, which is the, that's his, one of his earlier nevuot. But this is when he's going to predict the Korban. Not that it will happen, but it can happen. But this is what the main thing he's referring to. Remember, he said, "Hey Tibud Dach." He said, I warned you, improve your behavior and what you're thinking about. Now he's going to explain what he meant. In other words, we can understand what he meant in Perek Hafei based on Perek Zayin. Have it Perek Zayin in Yirmiyahu? Where is he giving this nevuah? In the Beit HaMikdash, in the great synagogue. You follow? He's not talking to idol worshippers, people in Ben Yehuda or in Gibeon Hinnom. He's talking to people in the main shul, got it? Okay. Listen, everybody, all you people coming to shul to bow down to who? To the right God. Kol Hashem Tzvotel Yisrael, Heitivu Dachem Amal Adachem. Get that cleared up? What's that mean? Improve your behavior, how you behave, and what you're thinking.
Do they know what behavior? He's going to
explain now. Okay. Al Tiftchu Lachem Al Divrei Hashekher Lemor, and don't put your hopes in the words of the false prophets. We'll see in a minute. What are they saying? Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Hema. He's making fun of them. What are the other prophets saying? Come to God's house. Heichal Hashem is God's Mikdash. They're saying the main thing God wants you to do is come to shul. Come to shul and daven and God will save you from all your problems. Come and you'll give a... Instead, ki im hitiv titiv v'darchachem v'tmalachem. Now he explains. Im asu tasu mishpat ben ishu ben rehu. Now he's going to go with all the left wing stuff. Are you going to fix your society? The same thing we saw in Yishayel. Correct? Yeah, you're talking about not to oppress.
Rip the page out.
What?
Rip the page out.
Okay.
It's cut and paste.
Yeah. Okay. No, but don't let it go. No, make sure to take care of the gear you're talking about now. The Damnaki are cheap and become us. Damnaki is innocent people. I gave examples of Damnaki. It's like texting and driving and like when people, building sites, lack of care about life. You know, like what happens all the time in the news. Not good. But Damnaki is when people die and people could have been more careful. It's not people going around murdering others just to murder them. It's when life is not important. When putting up a building, you know, for cheap is more important than someone's life. Or when making money is more important than someone's life. It's when people don't take safety properly and things like that.
Value life.
Or getting to Minyan on time is more important than driving carefully. One big examples that I fall for that I make. You follow? Class, when you're late for Minyan, gotta catch Baruch Hu, so you gotta speed to shul. Or you'll take a handicapped parking spot because you don't want to be late for Pesukei Zimra. The best example is when you go to the pool, you illegally, you know, you're going to work out in the gym for exercise, and you illegally park because you don't want to walk so far away. I find myself doing that all the time. So it's, yeah. But that's not foolish.
To increase the exercise.
No. Okay. And then he says, and don't follow other gods as well. We'll see what these other gods are. Then I'll let you do on this place. You're putting all your hope in the words of the false prophets, ain't going to help you. Okay. Then he gives a list. Listen to a list. Yishalat HaSheker. Sound familiar? Where are they from?
Wow.
But which part?
This week's parsha.
The second half. Yeah. Okay. And then he asked for Keter Labal. Now, if you remember, Yoshiel wiped out the Baal. Didn't we read that when he came in and wiped everything out? He's calling the people in the Beit HaMikdash Baal worshippers. Let's explain that later on. Okay. Your society is full of the second half of the Ten Commandments. I'm not sure if everyone's killing each other, but he's talking about the second half of the Ten Commandments, which is about society. You're doing all those terrible things, and then you come to Beit HaMikdash for what? To clean your conscience. You think that as long as you come to daven, everything's fine? My name is associated with this house, and what's this house look like? Like a bunch of convicts, right? It's a hideout.
Criminal.
Okay, like criminals hide out in a cave. So this looks like a cave hideout for criminals, God's house. What's he say? Don't think I'm not watching. And it can't be every half the people coming to shul. They're all convicts and they're inside traders and they're mean and they're cheating and unkind and things like that.
Okay.
Then he says like this. He says, and my name is associated with this house. Now what I'm trying to get at, without saying with Yishael, it's because they're so frum, God has to punish them. If you were misbehaving ethically, and you weren't claiming to be God's people, okay, you're like everybody else. But you're coming to shul in the Beit HaMikdash and praying, and keeping all the laws, and you're claiming to be God's people, you're keeping Shabbat and all these things, and then you act that way? That makes me look really bad. You're ruining my name. That's why all the big punishments happen when they're still thrown. Because you're making me look bad. He's got to tell you, it'd be better off if you weren't so thrown. I wouldn't have to be so mean to you.
Just
one more line. And want a proof? Go take a tilde to Shiloh. Now, this is awesome. You ever been to Shiloh?
Yes.
Been there? So there's a movie there. They have a really nice place in the movie. The last line of the movie is this line. It says, that's the end of the movie. which is saying in the movie, you know, you got to come visit Chilo because this is where the Shkina used to be. And it's quoted totally out of context. We do that in Davening sometimes also, but it's really ironic that.
He chose, yeah.
Yeah. No.
There are miracle navis.
What?
There are navim who do miracles.
Yeah.
That can impress the people as to why maybe it's a true navi. To give them these kind of messages over and over again, mixed with politics, why does anyone? Why would Hashem think that people will listen to this?
They don't.
But why should they? Why should they?
Yeah, you're asking a question on God, but next time you have to say. That's why he's saying. That's why he says, 23 years I've been dealing with you. That's your punishment. Your punishment is your leaders. You follow?
You get the leaders you deserve.
You get the leaders you deserve. Ask any American. No. Okay. Yeah. So he says, go to my place, go to Shiloh. Remember, don't think that just coming to God's house will save you. Now, why was Shiloh destroyed? Remember Ben Eli? It wasn't because they weren't firm enough. It was because
they were taking advantage.
Because they were taking bribes and taking advantage and mistreating the women.
Right.
And caring only about their salaries and things like that. Right. It was a corrupt rabbinate. This house, which is associated with my name, I can't let that remain. And you're putting all your hope in that house because you're coming to pray in that house. I'm going to take that away. What happened to Shiloh can happen to the Mikdash as well. One more line. I'm not going to listen to your prayers. Yeah.
So had they stayed in the same situation, except they would have accepted
Babylonian.
There wouldn't have been a Churban.
Right.
Yeah.
So
it's very strange.
What he's saying, accepting Babylonian sovereignty is the way you're showing God you recognize your mistake.
How does that do?
That makes sense. The way you recognize your mistake is that you created just society, not that you recognize it.
Yeah, so listen. Go to Parachabet. Just one line. Just Chabet, just giving you bits and pieces where he clarifies it. Shmuel Chabedis is like generic message to the house of David. We talked about this, but I think we probably quoted it before also. I just want to show you, it's by Yirmiyahu, it's a broken record. See, Perachabed? Kolma Hashem, Rid Bit Melech Yudah, Vidibar Tashem et Adavar Hazer, Vamat Hashem Adavar Hashem Melech Yudah, Yushev HaKislei David, Atav Avdech Avamcha Baim Bashem Ha'ilah, Kolma Hashem, Asum Mishpat Tzlaka, Vatsilu Gazu Me'al Ashok, Vigel Yotam Vamna Altanu, Vatachmosu, Vadam Nakiya Tishpum Mekom Hazer, כי מסו תעשו את הדבר הזה, ובא בשר בית הזה מלאכים יושבים לדוד, על כיסאו, רופאים ברכם סוסים, ובדבי אמור. Do משפט נצדקה, you keep your throne. ואם לא תשמע דברים האלו, וישמעתי עם השם כאילו חברי הבית הזה. Fix your society, you can save your thing. Now, but that together with what he says in Perach Hafei, and the way you do that is by giving it to Melech Bavel. Now, if you give it to Melech Bavel, it doesn't mean you've done משפט נצדקה. But giving in your political decision is a reflection of your religious understanding. Sometimes you need to go into rehab. So God basically saying, you need rehab as a nation. If you recognize it early enough, you can do rehab at home. Got it? If you don't get it, I'm going to send you, and say, I'll send you in rehab at Chutz
La'aretz. How is the rehab going to take place?
What?
Had they listened and submitted to Baba?
When you tell a kid, remember, stand in the corner, I think about what you did wrong for, like, remember in school when we were kids? Yeah, I don't think you did
control.
Anymore.
Probably, see what happens.
Probably caused irreversible psychological damage.
I remember.
Because the kid might think he did something wrong, Chas v'Shalom. Yeah, you know, that's a terrible. Yeah.
So how was that going to take place? Had they submitted to Bava, then what would have happened?
Because it's something so drastic, people will finally ask themselves, what caused all this? Sometimes, that's what I'm saying, you have to do something drastic sometimes to get the message across. Again, it's not a first-time offense. It's over and over and over again. And when it's not getting better, he's got to... Again, I agree with all your questions. All your questions is exactly why Yirmiyahu fails.
So why isn't he fired and replaced with a better Navi? That's more successful.
He was.
No, but early in the game...
Then he wants to quit.
Early in the game. You know,
well, early in the game, you don't know that he's not really listening.
You're asking questions on God. That's a different. That's Eo. All your questions are fine, but you're asking questions of God. I'm trying to explain you what's happening in Yirmiyahu.
Well, even Yirmiyahu, why does he think after so many years people don't listen to him?
Why does he quit?
Just, you know.
He said so. I wish I could quit, but I'm forced to say it. He says, want to see what he says?
How many years?
Yirmiyahu? 40 years career.
40 years.
But remember in the first paragraph we read a couple of back, remember? From the time you were born, I had my eyes on you, God told Yirmiyahu, before you were born.
Yeah.
Listen, look at the end of Perek Yotet. Okay, why the book's out of order? Let's do a different share. The end of Perek Yotet, the end of Perek Chaf, I'm sorry. In Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yedalet. We'll end on a sad note, okay? Yeah. To answer your question, what's he say? Arur ha-yom ha-shiri la-tibo. Yom ha-shiri tani yimi, al-yabaruch. Arur ha-ish ha-shir b'yisar David, lemor yulav lacha ben Zahar. Okay?
He's in a depression.
What? God tells him, Yirmiyahu, don't get married, don't have kids because they're all going to die. Yeah. He has a terrible life. And he hates his job. And he was such a, when he was young, he was such a right winger. He was behind the whole reform, remember? He and Yoshiel, they were going great together. He started, like, there was a Gush Hominim when he started. He was part of the whole movement. They were doing great. But it went overboard. We have to go back and see what happened with Megiddo and everything, and why they take on the... I'm trying to give you what I call a crash course in Yirmiyahu of what he's up to. Again, all the questions they're asking is exactly my point. Because what happened? No one listened to Yirmiyahu, and they want to kill him. They're going to put him on trial. They're going to trump charges up on him. They want to kill him.
What was the purpose of sending Yirmiyahu? You got nothing done, right?
Okay. The purpose of Yirmiyahu is basically his generation is a lost cause. The purpose of Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel is for future recovery. Someone had to be on when all the rabbis are saying one thing.
Sacrifice.
When all the rabbis are saying one thing, if all the rabbis are saying it can't happen, it can't happen, it can't happen. The temple will never be destroyed. That's what they're saying. They're going to tell Yirmiyahu, you must be a false prophet, because you predicted the temple could be destroyed. That's Kfira. Got it? It's like saying God didn't write the Bible. You're saying you're a kofir. You follow? You're nevuot. you must be a false prophet. You have to put you to death. Well, because God could never say such a thing.
That's how it looked. I mean,
yeah. And that's but the real reason they want to put him to death, because listen, if everyone wants to fight Bavel and this rabbi goes around saying give in, that's going to ruin them. That's going to ruin the military effort. Mm-hmm. Yirmiyahu is a political threat. He's telling the soldiers to Besari Pekuda. You know what governments do in soldiers to Besari Pekuda. Mm-hmm. So he's a danger. He's a danger to everybody, and therefore he's.
So God set him up.
Yeah. But that's going to be his. But we need somebody.
But he's the one.
Once the Corban happens, you follow? But God had it with his people. That's clear.
For rabbi,
he needs him to go to rehab. He's hoping they could do it to rehab. Do hard rehab. Says, but if no one opened their mouth and said something, that's going to happen. And everyone, all the rabbis said only one thing: it won't be, and it is. Then people would give up hope altogether. Yirmiyahu is there so that when it happens. Someone can say, I told you something. Yeah.
He gets killed in the end.
Yirmiyahu, for his whole generation, was a total failure, but he's canonized, and thanks to him, we got Haftarot, and we have hope, and we can sing Odi Shema Bar Yehuda, and the thing.
The question is,
are we going to listen to his, not just the songs, but his message?
What's changed today, Tommy?
That's a different question.
He gave this today.
Nothing's changed. We're doing the same thing.
And we got the same people trying to take over the Middle East.
What?
Right. Yeah. Imagine if one
doesn't change.
I'm not saying God's not saying give in to the Palestinians. That's for sure not.